From WCMU Public Media, this is Between the Lakes, a weekly recap of the top news stories impacting central and northern Michigan. I'm your host, Tina Sawyer. Coming up on the show, people who experienced last year's devastating ice storm in northern Michigan recently came together in Gaylord to talk about how climate change is affecting their communities. Foresters, farmers, and homeowners shared their experiences with the storm.
We saw farms that lost miles of fence. We saw farms that lost livestock, that lost infrastructure.
We'll share their stories in a few minutes. And this week's Brain Teaser features a special delivery you'd never expect. That's coming up. But first, these headlines. Michigan Democratic Congresswoman Krista McDonald Rivett voted in favor of a resolution Thursday afternoon to limit President Trump's military actions in Iran. The resolution failed to pass by a handful of votes in the GOP-controlled U.S. House. McDonald Rivett says she voted for the resolution because congressional authority has been diminishing under the Trump administration.
We know that it's important to protect the president's ability to act in a military way. On defense, but that's not what this was. And I believe it was really important that we affirm our constitutional war powers.
A similar resolution failed to pass in the U.S. Senate earlier this week. Republicans have largely supported the president's campaign in the Middle East. They cite Iran's alleged development of a nuclear weapon as justification. Politico reports the Pentagon is thinking about sending an emergency funding package to Congress worth roughly $50 billion for the war. McDonald Rivett said, "We don't have the money." Signatures are now in to propose a Michigan constitutional amendment requiring proof of citizenship to register to vote. Colin Jackson has more.
The measure would require the Michigan Secretary of State to go through and check every registered voter's citizenship status. Opponents like Voters Not Politicians spokesperson Melinda Billingsley says that could cause people to be wrongly kicked off the voter list.
This is not a voter ID initiative. It is a show your papers initiative.
But supporters like Republican Michigan House Election Integrity Committee Chair Rochelle Smith says people shouldn't worry about possibly being removed as officials check the voter roll.
If you already have a driver's license or state ID, the Secretary of State should already have your documents on file.
The amendment would also require people to show a physical photo ID to have their vote counted. I'm Colin Jackson in Lansing.
Icy conditions have partially shut down the Sugar Island Ferry in the eastern Upper Peninsula. The ferry typically transports people between Sault Ste. Marie and the island on St. Mary's River. As crews wait for more ice-breaking help from the U.S. Coast Guard, the ferry is only doing limited runs. Greg Gorsuch is captain of the ferry. He says running a normal schedule under these conditions would put the boat at risk.
It's really, really strenuous on the engines and the boat getting through the ice between the two docks. And then there's taking the time to try and get into the island dock far enough to get our ramp down and ropes on and people safely off. This boat is not an icebreaker.
A captain for the U.S. Coast Guard told the Sioux Leader they're working to address mechanical issues on the two icebreakers tasked with working on the St. Mary's River. Gorsuch says he is not sure when the ferry will run its normal schedule again. Federal data shows half of the Great Lakes are covered in ice. Scientists are finding tiny pieces of plastic in more and more places around the Great Lakes. New research suggests algae could be part of the solution. Researchers in Texas and Missouri laid out a system for filtering microplastics out of wastewater using algae in a recent study. Valparaiso University chemistry professor Julie Peller was not involved in the research, but says even in nature, algae is uniquely good at grabbing microplastics.
The reality is when this algae is in the water, it's like a little vacuum cleaner. It pulls up all kinds of stuff that's in the water.
Peller says people should skip plastic in their everyday life to prevent it from getting into water in the first place. And don't forget to move your clocks forward 1 hour Sunday for daylight savings. The change will give you an extra hour of sunlight in the evening. Legislation was introduced last month to try and adjust the time change from 1 hour to 30 minutes. But a bill in the U.S. House of Representatives has gone nowhere. Daylight saving time was first introduced in Germany in 1916 during World War I as an energy-saving measure, according to the University of Colorado Boulder. Adjusting the clocks has been law in the U.S. since 1966. And now it's time for this week's Brain Teaser. I'll pull from a hat either a random fun fact, a riddle, or a quiz question, all meant to tease your brain this weekend. Let's draw today's teaser. This week's teaser, is a Michigan fun fact, so let's get to it. Michigan is the only place in the world to have a floating one of these. What is it? Again, Michigan is the only place in the world to have a floating one of these. What could it be? Don't just mail this one in. Take a moment to ponder it, and the answer will be revealed after this. Residents from across northern Michigan recently gathered at Treetops Resort in Gaylord to share their personal experiences from the 2025 ice storm. The event was hosted by six different environmental organizations and focused on how climate change is affecting Michigan communities. WCMU's Emma George Griffin was there and brings us some of their stories.
It was clear through residents' stories that northern Michigan communities are recovering from the storm, but they will never be the same. That energy was palpable as dozens of community members came together to bond over shared experiences and to ask government officials to take climate change seriously. Some residents shared their concerns about the environment and their health, but everyone talked about the importance of community in the face of a disaster. Gaylord resident Aaron Beach was working at Treetops Resort during the storm.
When the storm hit, everything changed quickly. Power was out, communication was limited, damage was everywhere. And in those first hours and days, our focus wasn't on our business, it was on people. Our team, their families, making sure that they had what they needed.
The ice storm left more than 100,000 northern and central Michigan homes and businesses without power. Some were without power for weeks. Beach says the resort staff helped local nonprofits provide food, fuel, and water to others. After the resort got power, Beach says they housed employees and linemen from around the country.
It was a constant effort to take care of the people who were taking care of everyone else. And we weren't alone.
Beach says there's one thing others should take away from his experience.
Don't wait for a crisis to care for your community. Invest in it. Volunteer. Support it. Strengthen it. Because when the lights go out, those relationships are what bring them back on.
A northern Michigan farmer named Kevin Donner says his farm was unharmed by the storm, but others weren't that lucky.
And we saw farms that lost miles of fence. We saw farms that lost livestock, that lost infrastructure. We saw farms that lost product. Flower farmers start their stuff really early on. They need power. They need heat. That didn't work out so well for them. And, of course, our maple farmers, that industry, tens of millions of dollars in damage and equipment.
Daniel Marbury works for an agriculture nonprofit in northern Michigan. He says government officials offered financial aid to maple syrup farmers.
Which is great. We need those industry associations taking care of their members, but there's no such association if you're a flower farm with livestock and maybe some veggies on the side. So we knew as the kind of education convener for small farms across a diverse array of products that we were that group.
Marbury says his nonprofit and other community organizations raised more than $30,000 for small farms. Those funds helped fix infrastructure, feed families, and livestock. But he says farm production will be impacted for several seasons.
I think it's time for federal funds to get to work doing what they are designed to do, serving we, the taxpayers who fund our government, for exactly these moments when the crisis is bigger than the capacity of any one community, region, or state to repair.
Diane Farner is the deputy director for the Headwaters Land Conservancy. When her small organization wasn't prepared for the extra labor needed to clean up after the ice storm, she says the community stepped up to help. Farner says storms like this one are becoming more common. In 2022, Gaylord experienced a deadly tornado that decimated homes and businesses.
This is the second historical storm we've had in 5 years, the tornado and now this. And defunding Environmental Protection Agency, deregulating, removing protections for the environment, those things are just going to lead to more of this. And we have the communities, no matter what rhetoric is coming out of Washington, and I think it's important to remember that.
In total, 16 residents told their stories. With more dead tree limbs covering the ground than ever, residents expressed their concerns about potential wildfires in northern Michigan. The environmental agencies that hosted the event offered resources and advised residents on how they can best prepare for weather emergencies. I'm Emma George Griffin, WCMU News.
And now it's time to reveal the answer to this week's brain teaser. This week's teaser is a Michigan fun fact. To recap, Michigan is the only place in the world to have a floating one of these. What is it? Again, Michigan is the only place in the world to have a floating one of these. What could it be? And the answer is a floating post office. Yes, the J.W. Westcott II is a 45-foot mail boat operating on the Detroit River that serves as the world's only floating post office, even with its own zip code. Since 1874, the vessel uses a mail-in-the-pail system to deliver mail, packages, and supplies to passing ships while they're in motion on the Detroit River. The company upgraded to a freighter after originally using a rowboat for their service. I wonder if they yell, "You've got pail." That's all for this edition of Between the Lakes. Don't forget to subscribe to the Between the Lakes newsletter linked in the show notes, where you'll find more of our reporting and analysis from across the region. Visit our website, radio.wcmu.org, to find out how to listen to your local WCMU radio station. This podcast is produced in part by the members of NABIT Local 412. It was edited and mixed by Rick Brewer. Our theme music comes from Gabe Shaw. Mike Horace is our executive producer, and I'm your host, Tina Sawyer. Have a great weekend.